Chapter 20. The Holy Ordo. Chetta couldn't say anything for a few seconds, while her brain desperately tried to recalibrate itself. Then, she turned painfully on the spot away from Vass's, no, Nagiri's, calm expression, which was underlit by the dancing hololith, until her gaze landed on Kenevario Zudine in his grav chair. The cadaverous old navigator looked utterly unsurprised. "You!" Chetta spat, pointing at him angrily with the hand that wasn't clutching her cane. "You knew!"
"I knew," Zudine confirmed, in that sonorous voice of his, with an acknowledging dip of his head. "Lady Nagiri identified herself to me, and requested that I aid her disguise as a rogue trader. I was, of course, only too happy to be of service to His Imperial Majesty's Inquisition."
"I did tell you that House Zudine had demonstrated their loyalty," Nagiri commented from behind Chetta. "I didn't say that it was to the Emperor, not to me personally. Although, of course, in real terms, that's the same thing."
"So why?" Chetta demanded, rounding on Nagiri again. "Why the pretense? Were you pulling the strings all along? Why did you insinuate yourself into my family's home?"
"The Imperium has many enemies, Chetta, within and without," Nagiri replied. "Some Inquisitors concern themselves with the within, and hunt down heretics, mutants, and witches. I deal with the without. I deal with the alien. Everywhere humanity goes, barring freak warp phenomena or occasional blasphemous Xenos tech, navigators go too. You're more widely spread than any other group within the Imperium, even the Administratum. Virtually any time that humanity has contact with an alien civilization, a navigator is present. And the alien can be so subtle, Chetta. Eldari minds..." The Inquisitor's words trailed off, and she shook her head. "They play regicide over millennia, while we bet on coin flips. Any Xenos adversary with insight into our society wouldn't take on our armies. They'd attack our infrastructure, disrupt the supply chains, leave planets starving and weak, or prime for corruption by an alien bearing food and friendly worlds." "Your late husband was fascinated by the Eldari, wasn't he?" Chetta's throat tightened, to the point that oxygen was suddenly something of an issue. "That wasn't a question," Nagiri continued levelly, although she seemed to be waiting for a response. Chetta forced her neck muscles into a nod.
"Yes, he had a burning curiosity in that regard."
"Not one that you shared?" The tightness in Chetta's chest eased very slightly. She felt back on safer ground here. "Not in the same manner. I saw action against a couple of their raiding parties in the Pacificum fleet, and any fascination tends to burn away quite quickly when something's trying to kill you. Azariel was a civilian. He'd never fought them." Nagiri nodded slowly.
"And the various relics that he managed to acquire during his life?"
"Emperor on the throne, how does the woman know about them?"
Chetta bared her teeth in a humorless grin. "Would you believe me if I said that they made me very uncomfortable, and that I'd intended to dispose of them as soon as I felt it would not be seen as callous?"
"Perhaps."
Nagiri tapped her lips with a finger.
"Is it fair to say that you disagreed with your late husband's views of the Eldari?"
"We disagreed on a number of things," Chetta pointed out, "including, as you witnessed at his funeral, the marriage arrangements for our children."
"Is that why you had him killed?"
Ice gripped Chetta's heart. She opened her mouth to protest, to demand that Nagiri provide some proof of her allegation. But it would serve nothing. An Imperial Inquisitor needed no proof. Their authority was essentially limitless, although they presumably had their own hierarchy. However, since no other, more senior Inquisitor seemed likely to pop up in Nagiri's guncutter and come to Chetta's defense, that was something of a moot point.
"I have very little doubt that you arranged for your husband's death on Necromunda," Nagiri said flatly. "And quite frankly, if you did that on your own, then it's the concern of the Arbites, not me. You're an intelligent and capable woman, and would presumably have a plan to assume power with the minimum of disruption."
Chetta had to try twice before she could form words. "You're telling me that you think I killed my own husband? And you're fine with that?"
If it was your plan,
Nagiri said. She leaned a little closer.
Your husband's death had the prospect of throwing all sorts of things into utter mayhem if someone didn't assume control soon afterwards. The disruption to House Brabantis, the inevitable jockeying for position amongst the other houses, it could have had a huge impact on the operation of the Imperium, in this sector and beyond. Without reliable service from the Navis Nobilitae, the Imperium would fall apart. We'd go back to the days of old Night and be picked off by whatever Xenos warlords fancied taking a bite.
She shook her head.
I've had my eye on the Navigator Houses of Volizi for a while, Chetta, thanks to some disturbing trends in Xenos goods that I've become convinced are passing through here. I needed to make sure that you were acting of your own accord.
Chetta stared at her. Of course she had been. Hadn't she? Was it possible that some malicious agent had guided her hand? Had played on her unease with Azariel's choices and her opposition to his plans for their children, to ensure that she attempted to supplant him and thereby throw everything into turmoil?
Truly, I believe that I was, she said soberly, reflecting how unlikely it was to be hoping that an Inquisitor would believe her when she said she was acting entirely of her own volition when she planned to murder her husband. Azariel was a good man in many respects, and skilled, but I disagreed strongly with some of his choices. And as for the marriages, I spoke truly at his funeral. Dakar is heading for shadow and pain, but Azariel was too concerned with our political gains to care what that meant for our children. The Tarot's warning was too clear to ignore, and I may be a three-eyed mutant, but I still accept the Emperor as the guiding light of humanity. I refuse to believe that any Xenos could have corrupted that. Nagiri pursed her lips.
Perhaps I place too much trust in my ability to judge character, but you don't strike me as a person easily influenced by others, Chetta. Perhaps I can, for now at least, take your words at face value.
Chetta released a breath she hadn't realized she'd been holding.
Besides, Nagiri added, we have other, more pressing concerns.
We do?
Well, there's the matter of Gallimo Prime, for one, Nagiri said, and the possibility that whoever managed that particular atrocity might have similar designs on this planet.
Don't look so surprised, she continued. I am an Inquisitor, after all, and you gave a statement to the Arbites. I was hoping you'd stay out of it after that, but it appears you are as persistent as you are perceptive. How is good Sire Yun?
Garrett adhered to my instructions not to engage you, but it appears he neglected to pass those instructions on to his underlings.
Chetta shook her head in disbelief. She thought herself mentally adept, but it was hard to keep up with Nagiri's parade of revelations. It was you who removed the data files and broke into Yun's old hab.
Actually, it was my associates, Nagiri corrected her. Perhaps it's time for you to be introduced properly.
She stepped past Chetta, who turned to follow. At least the pilot was keeping the gun cutter steady. One sharp bank and Chetta would be on the floor.
Aberfel Descaris, Nagiri said, nodding at the grizzled ex-guardman with the bionic arm. Commonly known as Fel, formerly with the 81st Taradis.
My lady, Fel said gruffly.
Seth Lenson, student of Mars, Nagiri continued, and the deep red cowl of the engine seer bobbed in acknowledgement.
Carmine is a telekine of the Scholastica Psychana, and Davis of Rawl is my sworn shield.
The bearded man with the forestaff described a solemn bow, while Davis, bald-headed and sporting a ferocious moustache, splayed his fingers together in what was presumably some sort of greeting gesture from his culture. Chetta studied him for a moment. She knew enough about weapons and armour to realise that he bore the very finest and suppressed a small smile. Did Zaretta Nagiri, after her own talk about how widespread navigators were, truly think that Chetta didn't know what a crusader was? It was quite charming, the things people thought they could hide from the ones who piloted them through the stars. She was tempted to make a deliberately casual offhand remark about it, but restrained herself. She'd already got away with spoiling an Inquisitor's secret once this evening. Twice might be pushing her luck.
So, Gallimo Prime, she said.
It was sobering, not to mention a little disconcerting, to realise that Nagiri apparently thought her suspicions were correct. I'd hoped I was being paranoid,
but I couldn't make myself believe that I was.
I don't think we can rule it out, Nagiri said.
She looked down at the corpse bags that now contain the bodies of the assassins.
And besides, it does seem that someone wants you dead. Perhaps they realized you were onto them.
Chetta stiffened.
Wants me? They were going for the governor, surely.
Nagiri shook her head dismissively.
I thought as much at first, but V wasn't targeted. You and your brother-in-law were. Neither of you, if you'll forgive me for saying so, appeared to pose much offensive threat. They didn't need to neutralize you to get to Taranthus. The only reason to attack you was if you were their true objective.
She leaned down and picked a cuff up from the deck, turning it over in her hands. Looking closer, Chetta could see that it was designed as a decorative item, but the beautiful lengths of crystal that adorned it were clearly twins to the ones Nagiri had deflected with her fans. It must have been taken from an assassin's body before they were packed away.
Saludo shards, Nagiri said, studying it. Xenos origin. They're shavings of cultured crystal, incredibly toxic to humans and most other life with anything like our chemical makeup. Quite rare. The source seems to be somewhere in Segmentum Obscurus, but I've yet to ascertain exactly where or which warp-blasted Groxfondlers are trafficking them.
She looked up at Chetta, who got the distinct impression that the other woman's gaze was weighing, measuring, and categorizing her anew.
These aren't cheap, Nagiri said, holding the cuff up, and they're not easy to find. Whoever hired these killers had considerable resources, in terms of both finances and contacts, and had no compunctions about using them to try to kill you.
The face of Sen Urudhakar swam up into Chetta's forebrain. Considerable resources? You mean, such as a navigator house?
This is the sort of filth that I've been tracking,
Nagiri agreed.
I had wondered if Brabantus was responsible, given Lord Azariel's leanings. However, he's now dead, and the assassins who bore these killed Lord Vitariel. I might have suspected you, but you'd have to be the greatest fool in the sector to stage an assassination attempt on yourself with Saludo shards involved.
I can assure you, Chetta told her bitterly, I had nothing to do with Vitar's death.
Seth, look over the rest of their effects and see if there's anything that can give us a firmer lead.
Nagiri instructed her engine seer.
It's unlikely that we'll find out much,
she added, addressing Chetta again.
Anyone who can pay for Saludo shards can pay for operatives professional enough to leave no clues as to who hired them. Still, it's worth a try.
Of course, there is every possibility that this was completely unrelated to whatever may have happened to Gallimo Prime, Chetta said. She smiled, without much humour. One of the advantages of being such a prominent citizen of the Imperium is that there is never a shortage of suspects for an attempt upon your life, no matter how outlandish.
Perhaps we should compare notes,
Nagiri said dryly.
The opportunity to swap stories with an Imperial Inquisitor, Chetta snorted in amusement. I might take you up on that, if I thought you meant it.
I was not speaking wholly in jest, Nagiri replied, although I was not referring to how outlandishly we may have cheated death. I have resources, but so do you, and different ones at that. The fate of Vorlisi is of concern to us both.
I could theoretically commandeer your staff, but I prefer to keep my true identity hidden where possible. I have satisfied myself that you are no enemy of the Imperium, and I find that allies are more useful when they don't consider themselves to be under duress.
She proffered her hand, long and slim.
Lady Brabantus, I propose an alliance between us, with the aim of determining what happened to Gallimo Prime, and whether or not the culprit or culprits have made their way to Vorlisi.
Chetta looked down, then up into Nagiri's face. If I shake that, there's no chance of your rings firing accidentally, is there?
That hand's already been used up,
Nagiri replied, with no hint of a smile. Very well. For all her talk of no duress, she made clear she's perfectly capable of imposing her will if I refuse. An alliance, then. Chetta reached out and gripped the Inquisitor's hand in her own, feeling a certain thrill as she did so. Ever since she'd been a slip of a girl, the Inquisition had been a threat hanging over her head. A shadowy, remorseless group of fanatics, so blinded by hatred that they sought any excuse to persecute the navigator houses, no matter how loyal they were to the Emperor. And indeed,
Cheta still had no doubt that many inquisitors and their retinues did indeed fit that description. But that didn't change the fact that having your childhood demon suddenly proclaim itself to be on your side was a powerful rush. "So," she said, leaning on her cane, "where should we begin?"
"Brabantis Palace would seem the logical place," Nagiri suggested. "I assume you have any information regarding this investigation there? I can pull the appropriate data that I have from the Guncutter's memory banks, and..."
"And?" Cheta prompted, as the Inquisitor suddenly stopped speaking and tilted her head slightly to one side.
"And we have a problem," Nagiri said, her face falling.
"Seth, prep my armor, I might need it. Davis, Fel, Carmine, prepare yourselves. Cheta, if you'd mind accompanying me to the cockpit?"
The Inquisitor's followers moved quickly, a well-coordinated machine, free of panic or uncertainty. Nagiri herself was already making for a hatch in the bulkhead, and Cheta headed after her as fast as she was able to.
"What's this all about?"
she shouted at the Inquisitors retreating back.
"My pilots just intercepted a communication," Nagiri called over her shoulder. "I think you should hear it."
"And you couldn't patch it down to where we were?" Cheta grumbled, wincing as her hip complained at her. She stumped hastily past a couple of other hatches. Doorways to personal quarters, perhaps. Although, there would be little enough room for such things on a shuttle this size. Then tailed Nagiri into the cockpit. It was a starlit cave of blinking lights, wavering gauges, and mysterious levers. A high-definition Auspex glowed on the main control panel, and Cheta could see the illuminated towers of Ascension City through the armor glass, like artificial cliffs rising out of the sea of murkier darkness that was the Smog Deeps. There were two pilot stations, but only one was occupied. Another red Adeptus Mechanicus hood turned towards her as she entered, and judging by the skeletal bionic hands gripping the controls, this one had no more flesh to them than Seth Lentzen.
"Lady Brabantis, this is Jekri," Nagiri said. "They were Skitari before accompanying me, but they've shown a considerable talent for piloting. Jekri, if you would play the recording."
The Skitarius reached out and flicked a switch, and suddenly a panicked voice filled the cockpit.
"Repeat, this is a Code 1 emergency. Intruder in East Wing, abnormal abilities, possible teleportation, armed and dangerous. Chief Crane is dead. I repeat, Chief Crane is dead."
Cheta's mouth was dry.
She knew that voice,
and she prayed to the Emperor that Dashiell was still alive. But she had another concern as well.
"How, in the warp's name, did you get access to our encrypted security channels?" she snarled at Nagiri. "You didn't think Seth was with me at the funeral as my bodyguard, did you?" Nagiri snapped in response. "Cheta, there's apparently an assassin loose in the Brabantis Palace as we speak. We can go there to address matters. But you've already survived one attempt on your life this evening. Our other option is the ship Kenevario and I travelled here on, which is in orbit. I can safely say that's the last place any assassins will have expected you to be, so I think the likelihood of security being compromised there is very low."
Cheta stared at the speaker, as though she could somehow see through it and get a picture of what was happening. But it was a futile endeavour, and she had an Inquisitor waiting on her word. She took a deep breath.
"My people are in danger. Get us to the Brabantis Palace as quickly as you can."